Record. Hello, 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 hello. Okay. Okay, we'll sing that song. Let's maybe just read it together once again. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Okay, I'm sure some people are still on the way, but we'll just go ahead and start. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to you, helpless and needy people. We thank you for everyone that's gathered here as Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, wanting to hear what her blessed Lord wanted to say. And Lord, we come with that heart of Mary today, wanting to sit at your feet, wanting, Father, to understand what you have for us. For Lord, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and I pray tonight that you will give us, Father, a feast for our soul. The Lord, that we will be able to partake in and be strengthened in our inner man. And Lord, we ask you to speak through the Holy Spirit. For without your Holy Spirit speaking to us, Father, this is just a vain exercise. We're just coming here for fun. But yet, Lord, we want you to, as God of our hearts and our soul, to speak to us in an inner man, speak to us in a special way. Lord, bring us to a place of complete surrender to your word and your will. And that, Lord, as we learn to put our faith in you, Father, this trust and faith thing needs to be repeated again and again, because so much time, Lord, so many times, Father, we live more by sight more than by faith. We live more by what we feel and think more than by what your word says and by what you want us to understand. Oh Lord, teach us tonight. Everyone that is here, Father, who might have a struggle with faith, I pray, Lord, that we will learn that, God, you want to guide us in our life. And I pray tonight, as we touch on this whole area of God's guidance, Lord, I ask that you will guide us into a deeper understanding of what you have for us. And then, Lord, teach us to be obedient to what you have for us, and we'll thank you. Bring the people in quickly, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Many years ago, I was one of the things in the army that, for those who have gone through, all things in the army that we need to actually learn first is navigation. Okay? We call it topography, topo. Basically, you need to learn to use a compass, you need to use the map, and you need to be accurate. Okay? But they say that one of the worst things in the army is a platoon commander with a map and a compass and don't know how to use them. Okay? You got 30 men behind you, and you now they have, I think, 24. But you have 30 men behind you, you're supposed to lead them into battle, and usually sometimes in specific places that you can only go by the map and the compass. Okay, we are armed with the compass and our maps. We are given a certain direction and location, and based on our following of the given location and the compass and the maps, we are to ensure that we make our way and find the place. Okay, when I went to a particular country in this world, I'm not supposed to say that, but they actually were, the first thing we had to do was actually to go through this map exercise. Okay, and so they give out what we call a micro-fromo. What call it? Micro-fromo. I can't remember. MGR, we call it MGR. You know what's MGR? But never mind. It's on the map, like, it's supposed to be the left and the right, the latitude and the longitude. Then that's the place you're supposed to go to. Okay? And so, I determined my heart, I want to be one of the first. And so, when I got the thing, I plotted the thing and I ran. Okay? I ran from, and between checkpoints is more than a kilometer. Okay? It's more than a kilometer. And you can go over streams, ravines, hills, and all that. So there are 5 checkpoints, and so you 1 kilometer based on training standards, 15 minutes is about 1 kilometer, but together we're getting lost and all that. Generally, give and take 1 hour. So the whole exercise is actually a whole day thing. So morning you start, and they expect everyone to finish hopefully by noon, or they give and take some of the hours after that. Okay? And that was when, I think I was on a second or third one, I was following a slope down based on the map. There was a gradient following a slope down, and I tripped and fell and got my nose. There was this, in this particular country, they actually like to trap birds with bamboo. Okay? And what happened was this bamboo was broken down. Okay, and so the words with bamboo are actually quite tall, about here. But this particular one was chopped off, okay, it was broken, okay. Then the bamboo is very sharp, and so when I fell, it went through my nose. Okay, it actually went through my nose. I thank God it went through my nose, because I don't know how it went through my nose. My nose is so small. It just went through my nose. It didn't go this way in. Okay, I would have been dead. Alright, but I thank God. And so the first thing I told myself is, steady. I pray God help me. I said, steady. And I try to find my look. Okay, as a soldier, you must be calm, right? And by the way, you're all by yourself. And so I took the map and I tried to find, but I cannot find because everything is red. Because of the blood, you're starting to. Initially, when the bamboo went into the in the nose, I didn't feel anything. Okay, until the oxygen started going in. Pain, almost like, you know, the Lord was so good, because I was actually, when I ran down. And usually if you're on a hill, at the end of it, sometimes it could be a river of some sort. Okay, so I went, it was a dry river. And a dry river, then there's this gentle slope on the other hand. Guess what? I told myself, look, I need to go to high ground. Okay, that's the thing. You need to go to high ground, try to find out what is happening out there, or at least scan across, because I was actually in a ravine. Guess what? The moment I went up, the safety rover was just 50 meters away. You know the safety rover? In the army, they have this thing called the safety land rover, just in case any casualties. Okay, so the floor was so good. You know, it was just there. Okay, it wasn't even marked on the map. It was just there. And I said, sir, what happened? Why your nose? Then after it was evacuated, I lied down on the Land Rover. And I was nauseous by then because the blood was oozing out and things like this. And when I went in, I had 8 stitches, four on the inside, 4 on the outside. Okay, it was supposed to be a 21, I think it was supposed to be an 18 day exercise. We were there for 18 days, supposed to be a 12 or 15 days exercise. I got 10 days at sea. But it was a vital exercise because it determined whether we pass out as officers or not. So I had to at least do one exercise, and thank God I did okay. But coming back to the navigation thing, this is interesting. We had to actually find our way based on information we have. Okay? And it was an army exercise. You know, in life, how many of you agree with me? We need God to guide us. We need God. Let's look at Psalm 48 verse 14. Psalm 48 and verse 14. Psalm 48 verse 14. After this, I'll give some verses to people so that we can have people read. But Psalm 48 verse 14, as a beginning, I want us to look at the promise of God. Promise of God in our life. Okay, let's read together Psalm 48 and verse 14. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Amen? To the time you die, He is going to guide you. That is a promise from heaven. I don't know about you, my tears almost rolled down. This is our God. He's our God forever and ever. He will be your guide even until the time you die. He will tell you how to die. He will tell you when to die. And He will even know the people that will be around you at that time. And He will guide you until death. What more can we ask for? What a wonderful God we have. You know, based on Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6, I want you to notice 3 points about God's guidance. Number 1, our need for guidance. Our need for God's guidance. Can I just ask if Sister Agnes, you can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Hey, Jeremiah, you can turn to Proverbs 27, verse 1. Then after this, we all turn to James 4, 13 and 16. All right? Well, our need for God's guidance. Why do we need God's guidance? Number 1, because of the complexity of life. Life is complex, okay? Sister Agnes? 3:11, yes. Okay, what does this mean? Okay, we know the first part. He had made everything beautiful in His time. Everything has a time. And Christians, when we see things in this life happening, sometimes we think it's a mistake. God says, I have made everything that ever happened in your life beautiful in My timing. In My timing, everything is beautiful. Okay? The first part, God promises that He's made everything beautiful in His time. But in Ecclesiastes 3:11, He says, also He set the world in their heart. What does that mean? What He said, the world. The word world there has the idea of eternity. God has put the world into their hearts. That has the idea that God have put a high level of uncertainties. Not bad things, just uncertainty about life. That when we will think about life, we will be overwhelmed. There are so many things that we will not know. You know why? Because the Bible says, God has set the word in their heart so that no man can find out the work God maketh from the beginning to the end. So that God will be God. You know, if you... I'm not the oldest here. But one of the things I like to do is I like to imagine as I'm driving along, or am I just... Maybe I'm just on a high flat looking down. I always like to imagine the road, and then the trees, and then the houses. I like to imagine them as Legoland. You know Legoland? You know Lego? I like to imagine Legoland. Try that sometimes. It gives you a sense of perspective that all the people are kind of like Lego men. Alright? You can have the palm trees, you know, the Lego and construction. And when you take that perspective, you realize there is a higher intelligence, our Father, our Heavenly Father. And God has said all these things. And how, and you know, when a person plays Lego, you know, sometimes when you sit down with your child, or maybe a child playing, you actually have to ask them, what are you doing? I'm just playing well. But you know what, there's nice, maybe there's a Lego boat here, and then you see the little stream, and then you see a car and a harbour here, and oh, you're making a harbour. No, this is a... whatever he's going to tell you, all right? And you have to actually ask the child. And then sometimes, of course, the child may not know what he's talking about. But you see, children when they play, they actually have something in their minds. You will try to guess it. You know, when God created this world, there's so many things. And life is so complex. That's why we need God's guidance. Okay, that's one thing. We don't really, we have to actually come to a place of personal acknowledgement. We really do not know everything about life. Agree? How many of you will think, I know everything about life, I'm in control? None of us can say that. That's why we need higher hands. That's why we need God. Okay, the complexity of life, number one. Number two, Proverbs 27 verse 1. Okay, number one, our need for God's guidance because life is complex, the complexity of life. Number two, our ignorance of the future. We're ignorant about the future. The Bible says, boast not of thyself of tomorrow. Why did the Song of Solomon say boast not? Because a person who thinks that he knows what's going to happen tomorrow is always a person who is proud. Don't worry, I can handle it. No, God says don't boast of tomorrow. Alright, don't boast of tomorrow because we will never know. The ignorance of the future tells us we need God's guidance. Okay? In James chapter 4, verse 13 and 16, I'll just read there. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. James says, some of you are saying, you think you can, we're going to go to this city and we're going to set up shop, we're going to sell things, we're going to buy things. You know what James says? Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. You know what's a frightening thing? You know what's a frightening thing? Some of us may not be here tomorrow. So, Brother Johnny, I hope it's me because I don't want to come. I don't want to take my PSL exam or whatever. You know what? We need to understand what's in charge. And because of our ignorance of the future, God says, don't boast. You know, whereas you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is fragile. Life is uncertain. The ignorance of our future demands that we need God's guidance. Okay? For that ye ought to say, the Lord will, we shall live and do this. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. The complexity of life, the ignorance of the future. One more reason why we need God's guidance. The claims of God's duty on us. Okay? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 6, maybe we have... Jairo, you turn to Ephesians 6 verse 6, then Jacob, you can turn to 1 Peter 2 verse 16, and then we'll all turn to John 15 verse 5. Okay? The claims of duty. Ephesians 6 verse 6, Jairo loud and clear, so all can hear. Ephesians 6 and verse 6. Okay, we are servants of Christ. 1 Peter 2:16. Okay, we are all servants of God, servants of Christ. Understand this. When Christ saved us, we are all His servants. It's one thing that we are uncertain about our life, and life that we are living, our duties are complex. What more when God has called us to serve Him? All the more we need God's guidance. Does that make sense? Not only are we living, no, those non-believers are living this life. Actually, they still need God's guidance, because sometimes they make decisions that are wrong. In fact, many times they make decisions that are wrong because they don't have God's guidance. But you know, as believers, we need God's guidance in our regular life. But all the more, when we are supposed to serve Christ, we need God's guidance there as well. Okay? In John 15 verse 5, let me read this. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Can I say this? Is it possible sometimes as Christians we don't bear fruit? Because the Lord Jesus says, unless we abide in Him, we will not bear fruit. But that's what He says. Fruit of souls and fruit of character. Because Jesus later on end off in verse 5 saying, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing. I'm not American. Nothing. Okay? We can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. We need to depend on God because God claims us as His servants and we are serving Him and we absolutely need His guidance. Okay, so number one, God's guidance in our life, we need God's guidance because of the complexity of life, ignorance of the future and the claims of duty. Number two, what are the conditions for God guiding us? Look at those who just came in, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I was just doing a study of this. It's just a wonderful... We oftentimes look at Proverbs 3 verse 5 and say, we just kind of say, oh, you need to trust the Lord, trust the Lord. But what does it really mean? Okay. As you're asking for the Lord for guidance in any issues, these are the following conditions. When you're asking God to guide you, in Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6, this is what you need to do. Number one, there must be an active trust in God. The Bible says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word trust there, you can put a note in your Bible. The word trust has the idea of hiding for refuge. There's a few layers of meaning. Trust means I hide in God for refuge when there's trouble. Okay? To be confident and to be sure. To be bold. I like this one, to be careless. What do you mean trust God and careless? Careless. I mean, don't have care. Not that you're careless. Anyhow do, okay? Careless. That means you don't have a care in the world because you're trusting God. Okay? Trust in the Lord in all your heart. Put confidence in. Hope in. Put trust in. That's the whole meaning of trust. Trust to hide for refuge, to be confident, to be bold, to be careless. I don't have to worry. To put confidence in. Put your confidence in hiding God with all of your heart, where it matters. Don't put your trust in any other, but put your trust in God. The word heart there, oh, this is interesting, you can pay a note. The word heart there means you trust God with your feelings, you trust God with your will, you trust God with your intellect. You trust God with your consent. And you trust God with your understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, with your how you feel. Trust in the Lord with how you think about a situation. Put your refuge in God about how you decide about certain things. That's what it means, trust in the Lord. And by the way, trust in the Lord. The word Lord there is Yahweh. Is the great I Am. Trust in the Creator of this universe. With everything that's within you. Everything that's in your heart. Everything. There must be an active trust in God. If you want to ever trust God, And if you think you can control something, okay, that's the second point, okay? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And guess what? Lean not unto thy own understanding. There must be an active trust in God, number one. Number two, listen carefully. There must be an active distrust in yourself. There must be an active distrust in yourself. Active distrust. Oh, that's pretty strong. Because the Bible says, lean not. The word lean... Jeremiah, can you come? I always ask Jeremiah. I'll give you an idea of lean, okay? Jeremiah, I'm going to lean on you, okay? Maybe you lean on me better. Okay, just lean on me. Just totally lean on me. Okay, just lean. Just lean. Just lean. And just lean. And just lean. Just relax. Rest. Just rest. What's wrong? Relax! I think he's afraid I'll drop him. That's why you put all your trust in men. Okay, get up. Okay? The word lean not on your what? The word lean means relying on, placing your whole weight on, support oneself on. Don't support yourself on your own understanding. Don't support yourself. Don't put your weight on your own understanding. You know what the sad thing is? Many Christians do that. Oh yeah, they want to trust God on one hand. But you know, you must understand, you know. You know what you're doing? Can I say this? If ever we trust God and we but God, we don't trust God. Okay? If we but God, that means you don't trust Him. How many of you sometimes say, I trust you, but then that means you don't trust me, lor. The fact that you have to put a condition on God means you don't trust Him. You know what that means? That needs to help us see that God wants us to trust Him with all of our hearts. Everything that we've got. That's why I say there must be active distrust in yourself. You must actually say, I don't understand. But with that faith in God, I can still make it. Can you see the difference? I can't make it myself. One problem that many Christians have is our understanding. You know what comes between God's will and God's guidance and us many times? It's 3.5 kilograms. Okay? Our thoughts, our understanding, you must understand, I have experience already, okay? I've got 20 years experience already. This is how it's going to be done. God can change your experience. Amen? And God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Just because you think it's this way, doesn't mean that's what God thinks. Why did God say, don't lean on your understanding? The word understanding means wisdom and knowledge. You know what? Lean not on your own wisdom. And if we ever get wisdom, it's always from God. Why did God say, don't lean on your own wisdom? Let's turn to Jeremiah 17:9. I think we all know that verse, but I think it's good for us to just look at it carefully and apply that with regards to God's guidance. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says, let's read together verse 9. Okay, ready? 1, 2. Begin. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay, the heart is deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Your heart is wicked. How many of you think you can trust your heart? Do you realize? I learned this, I never really understood until recently, over the last few years. My pastor in Australia said this, Brother Johnny, I don't trust myself. I don't understand what he said, until I realized he's saying, my heart is so wicked. I cannot trust myself. You know what we are telling people to do sometimes? You need to trust what you go through. I'm not saying that when you've gone through clear deduction with counsel, then you still distrust yourself. I'm saying that if you think that you can go through life with just your own wisdom, without any counsel, you know one of the things, you know how people make decisions? Don't interrupt my thought processes. I just want to get alone and make my own decision. Ten times out of ten, it was always an unbiblical decision. There was one person many years ago, he's no longer in church. There was something that happened, and so what he did was he kind of just isolated himself from all. And the Lord impressed on my heart, I need to see if that person talked to him. You know what he did? When I went to the person, I sat beside him, something on your heart, you know. You know what he said? Rajani, don't. I need to be alone to make my own decisions. What a sad thing. After a few more weeks, he left the church. He compromised the faith. And I make my own decisions. Unbiblical decisions. 10 times out of 10, whenever people isolate themselves, let's turn to a book of Proverbs. Let's see, it's in verse 1. I just need to find that verse 1. Chapter 18, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Okay, let me read this to you. True desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. There are some people who use this verse as, I've got a certain desire, so what I do is I isolate myself so that I can learn more. Actually, the context is, if you look at verse 2, it talks about a fool that had no delight in understanding. True desire, these people, what they do is because of a certain course of action in life that they want, the decision they want to make, they separate themselves. And they actually seek, and what they do, they intermeddle with wisdom. They actually intermeddle. In other words, what is said as wisdom, they begin to question that. In verse 2, the Bible says, a fool had no delight in understanding. A fool had no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover it. So, you know what that means? The heart wants to believe what he wants to believe. The heart wants to do what he wants to do. And so he intermeddles with all that wisdom. No, I've seen that so many times, whereby 10 times out of 10, I say to you, don't disturb me, you know, I just want to make my own decision. Fine, go ahead. You know, I've taken the stand. If a person doesn't want to hear Bible counsel, it's between you and God. And oftentimes I've seen when a person has closed his heart and doesn't want to, he's not going to listen to man. You can be sure, he's not going to listen to God. And that's why God said, don't lean on your own understanding. Even as pastor, I need to ask, whenever I want to do certain things, you know why? It's going to affect a lot of people. And I cannot just make a decision without getting input. I may think in a certain way. You know, there was one time, so obvious, many, many years ago in Christchurch, I had my decision about certain things, and someone just, you know those situations where you propose something and you think you are right, and someone just give you a small suggestion and say, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? Have you been there before? But I said, why didn't I think of that? Yeah, I think we should do that. That's a much better suggestion. You know why? Our heart is deceitful. God wants us, don't lean on your own understanding. Number one, the conditions for God's guidance, there must be an active trust in God. There must be an active distrust in self. And number three, there must be an active acknowledgement of God in your seeking. The Bible says, in all your ways, Proverbs 3, verse 5, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge there doesn't just merely say acknowledge or call on God's name. It is throwing, okay, this is exciting. It is throwing your whole self into the hands of one who says that He is the Lord and is able to guide you. When you acknowledge God, you are saying, God, now all my wallet, all my life, my ambition, everything I just put at your disposal, it is you. I acknowledge you. You are my Lord, you are my King. What would thou have me to do? That is acknowledge. By that kind of definition, all of us sometimes don't acknowledge God. Does it make sense? True acknowledgement of God, Bible acknowledgement is, I will dispose myself totally to God. God, you take control, my salary, my bank account, my life, my career, my future, my house, my ambitions, my desire, whatever, Lord, it is that I'm going to seek you with my life. And God, you have absolute right to do what with it, whatever you choose. That's called acknowledging God. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, the Bible says. In all your ways, are you going to decide for a future career? Are you going to decide for a future course? Are you going to decide for your children? Are you going to decide who you're going to marry? Are you going to decide? You know what? The first step is, Lord, I'm yours. If you want me to go this way, I will go. If you want me to do this, I will do. If you want to go there, I will go. That is acknowledgement. Bible acknowledgement. God says there must be active acknowledgement of God in your seeking. Because in all your ways, in everything that you do. In other words, you will hold nothing back. You will hold nothing back. Remember Abraham? What did God told Abraham to do? Genesis 22. Bring your son, go to Mount Moriah, kill him as a sacrifice. What did Abraham do? Alright, God, okay, let's go, you know. Isaac, let's go. Servants, let's get things ready. God has told me to go and present a sacrifice. Maybe Abraham was a bit subtle with Isaac. But you know what? I'm not too sure, but the Bible never say. Isaac probably knew. One of the things that Isaac had when he was on Mount Moriah, Genesis 22, notice Isaac didn't struggle. He didn't struggle. There was no evidence that he struggled. Abraham just tied Isaac, put him on the altar. I'm sure he prayed, and as he lifted up his hand to kill his son, God says, stop. You know that wonderful passage that God says, now I know. By the demonstration of your complete surrender to me. Now I know you fear me. Now I know you obey me. And I ask you a question. When you say you acknowledge God, are there something that we are still holding on? If we are, biblically speaking, we have not fully acknowledged God. And you know, sometimes when people don't fully surrender, it's very hard for God to tell us what to do. Is it any wonder Jesus in the New Testament says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. You know what's the word deny? Put yourself out of the picture. Me is no longer important. Deny myself, okay? I'm not trying to get so hard. But that is the secret of God's guidance. You know, there was Joy, I think, Joy. The other day, you know, I mentioned her because I keep her awake. she gave me his. Remember, you gave me your ribbon. Then you asked me to untie for you. At that point, there was just a spiritual lesson that I got straight away. She gave me the ribbon, and she just stood there. Just stood there, you know, just happy. Look at what I'm doing. And she didn't do anything else. I'll finish, Joy. Okay, thank you, Baba. And go and just ran off. Completely abandoning it. I know of another situation with another family member of mine who gave me a machine and, Papa, can I help me fix? And I fix, and I'm trying to fix in 10 minutes, trying to interfere about 5 to 6 times. I know. Then, if you think you know what to do, then you do. Don't interrupt me. You know? You know how many times we seek God's guidance, but we keep giving Him proposals. Can I say this? I think about that. If I'm asking for advice, but I'm also telling the person what I think I should do, in the end, you know what? We are not in a ready mind frame to listen. Do you get that? If I'm asking for advice, but I'm constantly giving my advice, we are not in a mind frame to listen. That's why the Bible says, some point says, be still and know that I'm God. We need to be still. Let all the earth keep silent before the Lord. Book of Psalms tells us that we might hear what He has to say. Okay? We need to actively acknowledge God. Abandon yourself to Him. Then God will guide us. Number three, the method of God's guidance. The method of God's guidance. There are 5 ways that God guides us. Number one, let's look at Psalm 119 verse 105. I think you may know this. What does Psalm 119 verse 105 say? Wait, what do you say? Okay, what do you say? Okay, it's, thy word is a lamp to my feet and light unto my heart. Okay, number one, the method of God's guidance through His word. Can I say this very plainly? If any decisions is contrary to anything that you can find in the scriptures, it is not God's will. God does not work contrary to His will whether in direct command or principle. God told me to marry a non-believer. I say, what? I've had people, like when I was in Australia, there was this couple in the church, and there was a big problem with the pastor and all that, because the daughter has just gotten saved in the Pentecostal church, okay? Called the Potter's House. I think in Singapore they had the Potter's House last time. I'm not too sure whether they still have the Potter's House. They believe you can lose your salvation, but they believe this, you must marry a Christian. And so what this lady did, when she got she was already married, unfortunately. She was already married, then she got saved. And then the elders, I don't know the whole story, but she actually said, I need to divorce my husband, non-believer, to marry someone in church. Is that God's will? What did Paul say, 1 Corinthians chapter 7? If your husband is pleased to dwell with you, don't be separated. God does not work contrary to His will. You cannot convince me that God does, unless God has become a liar. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will not go against His word. Number one, God's guidance is always through His word. In other words, if you want to seek God's will regarding anything, let me just give you an idea how you need to seek through His word. Number one, you must have the SWOT searcher. Well, you may not, don't need to have it, but you need to be able to go from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and go through every passage until Revelation chapter 22. I say that because what we do is we take one verse here, one verse there, and therefore it's God's will. No, you need to go through everything. There are some settled convictions of mine with regards to dressing, for example, with regards to music, for example, with regards to certain things. It's because all the things I learned, okay, from veteran evangelists that taught me, you need to comb through the entire Bible. What is God's mind on that thing? What is God's mind on that particular issue? What is God's mind? And then at the end of the day, your conviction must be God's mind, not what you think. And that's why every verse that bears on that, you have to bring out and honestly face yourself. God says I'm not supposed to do that here, but God says I can't do that here, but God says I cannot do that here, but then God has another situation here. You've got to put all the situations together. And how you know, the lesson on education and culture, Christian and culture, is a survey from Genesis all the way to, you know, how they are going to come to conviction that the, but I know there are many churches who preach that tithing for the New Testament. But you know what? Having actually looked through Genesis and go through and think, okay, Lord, this is your economy in the New Testament. There are other things that are happening. You have to look from Genesis to Revelation. And there are people in this world that they believe that giving is free will. And I believe it is in the New Testament church. Okay, because as a man purpose in his heart, let him give. Okay. Does it make sense? Method of God's guidance, it must be through His word. Okay? So the question is, are there anything that I'm going to do going to be questionable? Okay, working on Sundays, watching things that are questionable, listening to music that is questionable, reading books that are questionable. We need to, and everything must be put on the spotlight of God's word. You know, when you do that, some people say, Brother Johnny, you mean every single thing I do? You know what? That's what it means to, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Some of us don't acknowledge God in some of our decisions. We just go ahead and do it. We need to acknowledge Him. Through His word, number one. Number two, through godly counsel. The Bible says, Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where no counsel is, the people will fall. And I've seen so many families, so many individuals fall because, not because there's no counsel, they don't want counsel. That's a different thing, okay? But in the God says through godly counsel, the multitude of counselors say, are you trying to say that God will use a human being to guide me? I'm not saying that. I'm saying God will use a godly human being to guide you. And God can. God can. Remember, in the I preached about encouraging yourself. You know how David went to Abiathar, the priest, they know certain things about God that you can use to point you in the right direction. I know one thing. Some people don't come to the pastor for counsel. You know why? They already know what the pastor is going to say. And because they know what the pastor is going to say, or whatever, whoever wants to say, because they already know it already, and they don't want anyone to interfere with their decisions, they keep it and make the wrong decision. Unscriptural decision. You know, that's a sad thing. The Bible says, go to godly counsel. Can I say that the next time you make a decision, you need to count and palm your hands. How many people have I asked about this decision? Oh, please don't go through life thinking that we can handle it. We can't. We may not like the decisions that people may tell us, but you know what? Why do you think God puts us in the church? You know, I'm going to preach a message to the Chinese on Acts chapter 2. You know, the people were together. 同心合意. I was studying that. You know what? When I studied each word, I was amazed at the amount of things I can say, for number one. Number two, you know, the early church was not only one in heart, 同心, they were also 同意. Their 同心, this is a Chinese, not preaching Chinese, sorry. 同心 means what? Same heart. Sometimes we may have the same heart about something, but we not, may not agree about certain things, right? But you know, they 同心 and 同意. Even with their thinking, they were together. Think about that. Oh, the early church. You know, my heart is, God, give us the spirit of the early church. They were powerful church. Why? They were one. This is just one of the categories. 同心, 同意. Godly counsel. Through His word, through godly counsel. Number three, through circumstances. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I just read, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was open unto me of the Lord. Okay, so the door was open, and I think you know, Paul wanted to go to another place, but God shut the door. Circumstances does help us to determine. Can I say this? Circumstances can help us, but circumstances is not the first thing we go to and the last thing we go to. You know, people fall into a trap when they see, oh, so-and-so is here, therefore I'm going to marry the person. Or so-and-so is here, things happen this way, therefore I should actually... The doors are open and everything else is closed. Therefore, I should actually take this. We need to be very careful of that. But you know, God does use circumstances. He does. Okay, so we need to be alert to that. Number four, through our obedience. Let's turn to Genesis 24, verse 27. God leads us through our obedience. Genesis 24, verse 2, okay? Genesis 24, verse 2. Let me just read there. I want to give you the quick background. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house, the rule of all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Okay, there's a way of swearing. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my wife, the son of the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, a peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Alright, and so Abraham, number one, put his trusted servant, the eldest one, in charge of everyone. Okay, go and find a wife for Isaac. How many of you like that job? Go and find a wife, okay? Go and find a wife for my daughter. Oh, no, wife for my daughter, don't what I'm saying. Wife for my son, okay? A wife for my daughter, what I'm saying. That's a terrible task. Well, not terrible, but this is a difficult task. You know what the servant did? Look at verse 7. The God, okay, this one is Abraham. Going down, the servant actually prayed. Verse 12. And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come unto draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall let down thy pitcher, and say, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, and let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And therefore shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto myself. Notice the principle asking specifically. Okay? But you know, at the end of the, to cut the whole story short, the servant said this, of course, all that's happened, and of course, at the end, Rebekah went back to Isaac. In verse 27, he said this. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." I love this verse, being in the way. I being in the way, I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was obedient, my spirit was right, my attitude was right, my asking was right, I was specific, I was patient, I didn't jump to conclusions first. I being in the way, what happened? The Lord led me. Can I just state very clearly, complete obedience to God's word is an absolute prerequisite for God to lead us. If we will not be faithful in the basics, God cannot show us the specifics. Mark it down. Write it somewhere. If I will not be faithful or obedient to the basics, God cannot show us the specifics. Just like if you will not learn the theory of how to fly a plane, I'm not going to allow you to fly the plane. Why? You may crash and kill someone. Simple logic. He that is faithful in the little shall be faithful in the much. Okay? Be obedient. Through our obedience, God will lead us. Number 6, by faith. Number 5, by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, "For without faith, it's impossible to please Him." Can I say this? All these have to be taken together. God's word, godly counsel, circumstances, obedience, and faith. It is said that there's some people who say, "I need to have everything sweet, sweet, everything nice, and then I will go forward." Can I say this? That's not how God leads. If you think God is going to open the door every time, everything has to be nice and rosy, clear and everything, then you go through, you will never move for God. You will never move for God. If we can have everything laid out for us and then we move, where's the need for faith? Does it make sense? And God says what? You go. It is a settled principle of scripture. God will not open the door unless we take a step of faith. Going back to the priest that carried the Ark of the Covenant across Jordan into the Promised Land, the priest had to step into the water because God opened the river Jordan before they went. Okay? God says, "You do it, then I will open for you." Can I say this? Banish the thought that God will make sure everything is nice and wonderful and rosy for you. I'm not saying God won't, but I can tell you it's rare. Because why? God wants to increase our faith as we serve Him. You know, when we started this mission, people were saying, with at least two I know in my mind right now, and say, "Ambassador Baptist Church shouldn't be started." It's interesting, one of them is no longer in church today, or even serving God anywhere. The other one has changed his mind. It was by faith. We need to trust God by faith. You know how I knew? The circumstances was open. Christ Church says, "Come." And it was at an affordable price, $580 every month. What? Jump in and go. Come on, God has opened the door. God bless from there. Faith. You know what? Without faith. The reason why, sometimes when we see things are a bit hazy and we dare not move, you know why? We are operating on the principle of fear. What if? As a Christian, can I say this? Operate on the principle of faith. Can I just use a secular illustration? I learned this when I was in the army. How many of you know General Colin Powell? General Colin Powell, she was a general behind the strategy of Operation Desert Storm, I think. Of course, Bulldog, Schwarzkopf, General Schwarzkopf was on the ground. You know what he said? "When we have about 70% information, we go. When we collected about 60 to 70% of information on the enemy, we go. There are 30% uncertainty. Well, we just go." Because it is impossible on the battlefield to get all the information. Does that make sense? But you know what? That is a worldly way. But you know what? Even they had to operate on faith. That's why their planning is so detailed. But you know what? We've got God. God does not and will not waste any circumstances or situations for his own children to build their faith. Does that make sense? What's the point? What's the point if I give Sister Agnes, you're going to sit for a test, okay? Maths test. Okay? And when you take out the paper, it's 2 plus 2 equals 1 times 1 equals 6 divided by 2 equals, if Ali ate 3 apples, how many apples do he have left? He started with 3 apples. Sorry, that's problem sum. He had 3 apples, Ali ate 3 apples, how many apples have we got left? Would you say that's a waste of my paper and time to give Sister Agnes a kind of mess? Would not I give him like x to the power of 2 equals to z square root of 21 over 16 equals find the root square of whatever? It would be more of a challenge, right? Why would anyone give you a test that doesn't help you grow? Can I say this? My brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse testings, knowing that all these testings helps you to grow in your faith. Okay, I know I'm a... That's in James chapter 1. God uses every situation to build our faith. And when God guides us, He's not just guiding us. He says, as I guide you, I want to build your faith and trust in me. In conclusion, all these have to be taken together. We cannot use one and then decide that is the Lord's will. You know, sometimes even you read, oh, this is God's word, man. I need to follow this and I do this. I know it for sure. But then, example, some people say, I know that God has called me to the ministry and I don't care what people say. I'm just going to the ministry because God has called me. You know, wrong. God says, my calling has to be confirmed by the church. Okay, Acts chapter 13. Alright? Some people, as I've heard many times, people say this, I don't care even if the church doesn't support me, I'm still going to full time. When a person says that, God has not called him. You know why? There's absolute pride. Okay? So we need to be very careful. But in conclusion, let me give you three verses as we close. Maybe we'll have, let's see, over to the side. Can I just get a little Gail, if you can read Psalm 32, verse 8. Can I ask to say, Elizabeth, Isaiah 48 verse 17. And Brother Taylor, you can read Isaiah 58 verse 11 as we close, right? Psalm 32 verse 8, one of my favorite verses. Okay, so in verse Psalm 32, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. That's a promise from God, okay? Isaiah 48, verse 17. Okay, Isaiah 58, verse 11.
And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in God and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water,
whose water. Okay, listen, memorize Isaiah 11. The Lord will guide thee what? Continually. And satisfy thy soul in what kind of situation? In drought. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. You know what's a watered garden? That means in the midst of everyone who is parched and dry in their soul, you have flowers blooming. The light of Christ shines out of you. When everyone is not walking with God, you are still and you are an influence. God says, well, I will guide you continually. Make fat your bones, thou shalt be a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You continually as a refreshment to other people. You know, when you see someone guided by the Lord, you want to follow that person too. You know why? As Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. God wants to guide us. Three things. We need God to guide us. The conditions of God guide us. We need to actively trust Him, abandon trust in ourselves, and actively acknowledge Him. The matter of God's guidance, His word, godly counsel, circumstances, obedience, and faith. And you know what? I believe God will guide you, because the Bible promises. And you know what? May you take this home and say, God, I'm in my situation and station in life now. I'm serving you here. I'm doing this here. But God, if that's not enough, lead me. I abandon and acknowledge you as my God. And Lord, you take everything that I have. What my future is, who's going to be with me. Lord, you take control. I love you, and I know you love me. On Sunday, I'm going to talk about God answering our prayer. Okay? And saying God guides His children. God guides us, and I hope there's a challenge for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word tonight. Thank you, Father, for people. I'm sure they are reflecting on thy word. And I pray the verses that are brought up will ring through their minds. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways, abandon yourself totally to Him. Your will, our decisions, our desires, our ambitions, our intellect, our will, and everything, Lord, abandoning to you. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Oh, Lord, thank you for the promise that He shall direct thy paths. Father, I thank you for this word. And I pray as we take this home, I ask for you to touch our hearts in a special way. I pray for one who may be right here now, are seeking clearly for your guidance. Lord, I pray they will take note of these five principles: thy word, godly counsel, circumstances, faith, and also obedience. That, Father, these five will be so evident in their lives that, Lord, when they ask of you, it is so straightforward for you to give to them. Oh Lord, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will do a wonderful work. I pray that thy Holy Spirit will do a work in that. Lord, you may guide us, that we might be like watered gardens, as in individuals of refreshment, that people will know God is in this person's life. Thank you, Lord. We pray for all the brethren who are not here today. I pray, God, that if they are sick, I ask you heal them. God, I pray that if they are busy with their work and they cannot come out, you will comfort and encourage them, Lord, in their work. I pray for those who are sick. I remember our Desmond, I pray you strengthen him, raise him up quickly. But for those who chose to stay at home, Lord, I pray you just convict their hearts and meet the house of God when thy word is preached. That, Father, they will grow and understand your leading in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the promise tonight that you will guide us. We want your guidance, Lord. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take some prayer.